Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
Time now for The Drive with Mark Ennis on 93.9 The Ville. The Drive is brought to you by Fitness Market, Louisville's premier location for fitness equipment and in-home saunas. Online at thefitnessmarket.com. Now here's Mark Ennis and Jeff Lightsey Jr.
Welcome back into The Drive here on 93.9 The Ville. Mark Ennis, Jeff Lightsey Jr., 8150-939. That's the number if you want to get in here, 3831-939 for the UPS jobs text line if you want to hit us up that way. And a couple of other things that were thrown in here, Miss Cleo, as things that you would see on. It's 10 o'clock. Do you know where your children are? Which you don't remember that, but it's kind of wild that we did that at all.
What was it? What was that? 10 o'clock.
It was like a, it was basically like, it was kind of a, what the texter who said, like, hey, we used to just play outside and then come home at dinner time.
Yeah.
Like, it was kind of a reminder for folks, like, hey, it's late. Have you checked on where your kids are?
It was like a PSA type of thing?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got you. Yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't an advertisement.
For I got you. I didn't know, like, I didn't know what that was. So. Because we would be out all day. I just had never heard that. So, yeah, 10 o'clock, you know where your kids are. Hmm.
There was a great documentary on Miss Cleo, too.
I remember the Miss Cleo.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
That was my grandma's. Like, she was into that for whatever reason. I always thought Miss Cleo was a little off, but my grandma loved it.
Oh, she was a hit for a minute, for
yeah.
sure. Texas says this was in the days before InstaFace and Snaptagram. Sounds like Belichick.
Yeah.
That might actually be Belichick if you knew how to text. Or I guess his 24-year-old girlfriend to text for us. I don't know.
He better learn now. She's trying to send him snaps. Like, Bill, you better – trust me, you want to download that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Go for it. You got a 24-year-old girlfriend. Go for it. Better. Keep up with times, Bill.
Texture says our parents forgot about us. Yeah, they did. They did. Nothing wrong with a gentle reminder. Hey, Meathead, you have kids. Don't forget.
Is that an issue in the Ennis house
God,
nowadays?
No. I wish I could forget about him. No, they'll never give you a chance to forget. Yeah. No.
Keeping you busy.
Yes.
Keep you active.
Well, look, I can't complain. They,
absolutely.
They
yeah.
are, we're tight, so I'm not going to complain about that. It'd be better than worrying about where they are.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
That's true.
That is certainly the case. Hey, you mentioned, I rolled my eyes because one, it doesn't mean anything to me, but you quickly you read the headline. Hey, Bronny James is gonna wear number nine. I don't care one bit. It means nothing to me. Just like UofL yesterday released the jersey numbers, you know, and there was kind of that, you saw that, like,
yeah,
and you look who had worn them in previous years, mm-hmm. and that sort of thing, and some of them are brand new, but I didn't care at all.
Yeah,
I just
didn't bother you seeing some exclusions from there.
No, I think I understand.
Yeah, I totally get it.
Well, there's two, right?
Yeah.
Andre McGee and T-Will.
T-Will. Mm-hmm.
I understand. Like, T-Will, I
caught a fake case.
Yeah. defrauded the retired.
The NBA.
Yeah,
was, like, the
he's in jail now, so.
Yeah. I understand.
Mm-hmm.
Andre McGee.
Dead. Oh, yeah, yeah. No, no.
Yeah,
you're supposed to do that.
Montrez was on the list, though, which I'm happy to see.
Well, he's disassociated.
Yeah.
If that's not a word, but it is.
Who is it? What did he say?
Montrez is on the list.
Montrez.
I saw his name for 24.
Yeah, he's on there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's back.
Oh, yeah.
That was only temporary, which is, it's funny that you can, thinking about the stupidity of kind of NCAA penalties, that, you know, the whole reason that they did that is it was supposed to be like a show of how seriously we're taking this, that Montrez didn't interview with the NCAA, so Louisville disassociated him. But you disassociated for a certain period of time.
Yeah.
And then he's right back afterwards. But we're going to vacate the accomplishment forever.
So stupid. It's so stupid. Like, when you put it like that, you put it like anything, it's stupid. But then when you really get into the weeds like that, it's like, what are we doing here, guys? Like, what are we doing here? All this is stupid. So, but glad to have Montrez back.
Oh, man.
I am curious. Oh, go ahead, Mark.
No, you go ahead.
Okay, I'm curious, like, because they changed the rules last year, because it used to be you had to have numbers 1 through 5 on your jersey. So, like, when officials signal fouls can do with one hand, but, like, Bronny wore 6 last year. I remember at USC. Which
oh, yeah, it's open now.
Yeah, because I like seeing these old numbers. Like, hasn't been worn since, like, the 50s. And then you got Noah Waterman wearing 93, which I'm curious if there's any significance with that number, too, because
there's no significance to any numbers.
But 93 is such an outlandish number that it's usually, I mean, you would think, unless you're playing for the Celtics where everything's retired. Yeah.
Yeah, 93, like he's like Simeon Rice or something.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's it. I'm a big fan of, yeah, I'm a big fan of Simeon Rice.
I don't care. But what did you think of the fact that Bronny did get drafted by the Lakers? What do you think of the Lakers doing that? Like, I know people got thoughts.
It was expected. I mean, I don't know. It's just like, it was very much expected. When you have, like, that was the thing. Like, people were acting like, here's the thing. And I had to make this point to Mark this morning, because he was like all up in arms about it. Daddy ball taking over the NBA. It's like, no, bro. Like certain people live by certain different rules. And so when you're LeBron James, you score 40,000 points, you're a billionaire currently still playing, there's things that you can do that everybody else can't do. And guess what? It's okay. Like, that is okay. I had to bring it to Mark. Like, Blank, I was like, you're the U of L sheriff. You can do certain things that a lot of Louisville fans just can't do. And guess what? You're not going to be like, you're damn right again. And you can. And it's okay. Like, that's part of it. That's part of life. Like, there are things that people can do, right or wrong.
Yeah.
That apply to only them. And LeBron James playing with his son is, I think, something that only applies to him. At least as of now, until we can see somebody else.
You can't extrapolate from it.
No.
Yeah. He's got his brothers to get on his team. Like, come on. No one's watching Thanasis Antetokounmpo play.
That's what I'm saying. Like, and they're like, oh, but he spent the draft pick on it. Yeah, it's the 55th pick, man. Like, you can't tell me who has emerged from the 50, like, 3 picks from Mr. Irrelevant. Like, it's the 55th pick. That player typically doesn't make the roster anyway. Why not spend it on Bronny James if it's going to make LeBron happy? So, go for it. I was cool with it.
Could be a hot ticket in Vegas for summer league just because that's who he is. And they will probably have to play him minutes because, you know, you spend a draft pick. Like you said, it's 55th. Probably spends a year on the two-way deal. And who is it?
I don't
it?
Think he does two-way, though.
You don't think so? I just because he's who he is?
Well, Rich Paul's already said he wasn't. He said we're not interested.
See, some of this stuff, I think the only – not even criticism, but the only negative comment that I think I really do agree with, like, Bamani Jones been real hard on him.
Oh, yeah.
About this. He thinks this is ridiculous.
Yeah,
the whole thing.
I've seen that. I've seen.
And maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But I do think he makes a good point that no one is asking, is this good for Bronny?
Yeah, now that's true. Now that is a good point.
Like, is this fair to him? Like, you have to play. Like, he is going to be looked at as a Nepo baby from day one, the whole time. And the 55th pick getting it's not going to be a two-way deal. Like, you know how many, the bitterness that'll sort of be just, I don't know that I think that that's, like, LeBron should have just sort of let it. I feel at least part of it should have just sort of let his draft stock sort of be on its own.
I agree.
But LeBron James can also do whatever he wants.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And while he's in the NBA, he will get to do whatever he wants. Now, the second LeBron retires, then that's when it gets real.
Y'all can go together.
Yeah, that's when
LeBron,
it gets real.
You want to retire?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, Bronny's career may end that day. No, this is for real, though.
I think you're
like,
right.
It may actually end. Now, maybe, hopefully,
y'all can retire together
if it's 2-3 years down the line, then maybe he's carved himself a role into being a legit NBA player.
Do you
player.
Think he will?
See, that I don't know. Like that,
I think you do know.
I legitimately do think he could be an NBA player. I didn't say a star. I didn't say a starter. I think he could legitimately be an NBA player, especially 3 years from now, you know, when LeBron's done.
Yeah.
Just can he be whatever you think he should be? Probably not.
And whatever that is, he's probably not going to be that. But could he last in the – I ain't even saying he could last 5, 6, 7, 8 years. But could he last for, you know, a period of time by himself without his dad? Possibly. But the chances are a chance, not like guaranteed. Like there's certain guys like LeBron was always guaranteed to be not just an NBA player, a star. But him, I think he could, but it's a 50-50 thing versus just – he's going to be a starter, an all-star, or whatever. I think there's a 50-50 chance he could be just an NBA player, even, but just stand alone by himself.
Yeah, I think all the time about what Luke said about what the NBA values in a guy that's like the 13th guy on the bench or whatever, that the one thing you really can't be is a hassle.
Yeah.
If you're that spot. And I at least think it's fair to say about Bronny that he is not obnoxious.
Yes.
At all. Like, he's not like Deion's
son. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Or, you know what I
there
mean?
There it is. Stuff yeah.
Like, he's – there's a good chance he would understand exactly what goes into being that person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that however many minutes a game, if any, you know, you're playing, you're the 13th guy. Like, you might get in certain situations or whatever. Like, I don't think he thinks he's going to be a starter and a star either. And he does seem to have the demeanor where he could play that role.
Yes, and that is key. What you're saying is key. I think even they asked him, like, carving yourself into an NBA player, who do you see? He said Drew Holiday. You know, that's not a star. That's not. It's a good player,
it's a good
though.
Player, right.
It's a really good player, but that's not, like, Drew Holiday's not moving the needle when it comes to yeah. buzz, notoriety, popularity. And Bronny gets that. And, like, even having that self-awareness, meaning if I reach yeah. my ultimate potential – it's Drew Holiday, not Jalen Brunson or Donovan Mitchell Jason or something Jaylen like that. Right. Yeah, it's like Drew Holiday. Like
he does okay. have some awareness.
Yeah, that is smart on you. That means you understand what's going on here. And that's why I think – and because he is low maintenance. Now, granted, he is LeBron James Jr., so there's a certain level of priority that he gets just by the namesake.
Yeah.
But he doesn't, like you said, unlike like Shedeur Sanders or somebody or Shy, like Deion's sons, he's not – making himself bigger yeah. than what it should be.
He's not trying to cash down. Did you allow yourself to engage in any pettiness at all that Trenton Flowers was not drafted?
No.
No?
I didn't.
I didn't care. See?
No, Trenton Flowers was nice to
me. It made me happy.
I mean, what would have been better? 8-24
well,
or
I was kind of going to ask you what you thought about that. Like, if you're – did he make the right call?
Because he was going to be one and done no matter what.
That's right.
Whether it was right or wrong, he was going to – like Bronny James, he was always a one-year thing for him. This was going to be a one-year stopgap for him. And, I mean, made it especially when Kenny
Yeah, they
fired.
Were renting.
But, yeah.
They were going to rent him, mm-hmm. no question. But you know, he really, really got it in his crawl that he was going to be a point guard.
Yeah.
And he's like, instead, I'm going to go to NBL. And then that lasted like 6 games.
Yeah.
And then actually they moved him the other direction and he started playing minutes at the 4.
And it worked. Like his better. Production was better, right, than it was for point. Because he was just what we expected. Like his turnovers were just out of control when he tried to play point guard, quote unquote. I mean, that's the thing. Like 6 in one hand, half a dozen in another. Like I don't know if he still would have been a late second or undrafted if he would have stayed here.
Yeah, I don't. So that's the thing. Like yeah. He could have played here probably more.
Absolutely.
But it would have been bad.
Yeah.
Like, and he still wouldn't have been the point guard.
No.
And I don't – let's be realistic here. Like, who got developed outside of Brandon Huntley Hatfield? And that almost looks self-taught.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know that you can make any kind of a case that it would have made him a whole lot better.
And I just – the reason why the Australian route was probably the best for him is because – once they got to campus, whatever they saw, they didn't like it.
Is that what you – that's your understanding?
It's kind of like, yeah, like whatever they saw, they didn't like it.
Yeah.
And if they would have started the season, there's a chance he doesn't finish the season. Like I feel that strong, like about the way his dad, his family orchestrated things.
Yeah.
Like they're the type that could have possibly bailed 15 games in, like 20 games in. Like, hey, okay, yeah, this is a sinking ship. Come up with something and get out of there. Like, so that's why it's like, I mean, this would have probably always been yeah. the result for just a one-year stopgap, and that's what it was.
Yeah, I don't think anyone can say he didn't make the right call just because I think it would have played out just like this.
Yeah.
Like, this is – I don't think Kenny gets him drafted.
Mm-mm. No. Not at all.
The way you closed your eyes, like, in disgust. Mm-mm. There.
Yeah. There was no – I mean –
he's like, no.
Because if anybody anybody from last year's team comes out to the draft, does anybody get drafted? The answer is no. So, it's like –
yeah.
That's why, like, it made sense. It's like, hey, if at least if I'm going to go out, I'm going to go out playing pro ball. Right decision, wrong decision, whatever. I'm going to go play pro ball, try to prove something that isn't true, and then go from there. And the proving something that isn't true is that I'm a whole point guard thing. Like LaMelo Ball, 6'8 point guard, LaMelo Ball, Josh Giddey, and no, you just weren't that. And it's okay. But now you got to invite to the Clippers camp. If you feel like you're an NBA player, go prove it.
Well, look, there's no better developmental league than the NBA. Like, there's just nothing better than being there.
Mm-hmm.
The guys have worked their way all the way out of the G League.
Yes.
Into being stars. Like, players have done it. He's got time.
Mm-hmm.
Look, he's not without talent. You know, he and his dad might be head cases, but the league, what league isn't full of head cases?
Yeah.
Headcases are good at sports.
Yeah, it's the thing. Like, it's like, it's part of it, especially when they're 6'9 and have 40-inch verticals or whatever. It's like, yeah, like if you're as good as you believe you are, if you guys work as hard as you say you do, and if you think, hey, like, it's the one thing they kept telling me, Trenton's an NBA player. Trent, like them, they're saying that. I mean, in his family, then prove it. Because it doesn't matter telling me. Like, it doesn't matter if I think you are. It matters if one of those 30 GMs think you are. Go prove it to one of them.
And teams that, you know, Summer League, even though, like you say, he's on the Clippers for the Summer League, that's not the end-all be-all, because, like, we've seen time and time again where maybe you get to spend the summer with the team, but then, like, someone else, like, either they're playing head-to-head or they're scouting, and they're like, I like that guy, and they bring him in for training camp or, you know, yeah, down the line. Like, that happens all the time.
Yeah, it may not even, like, forget just being the end-all be-all. It might not even be the start. Like, it you might very well, like you said, end up on three different teams this year alone, like, between G Leagues, getting cut, waived, or whatever. Like, so, yeah, this is really just the beginning of the beginning. Let's see what you're able to do.
You know who I would be mad if I was him, I'd be mad today is DJ Burns.
Why is that?
Because he lost like 55 pounds and then he didn't get drafted. So, like, he's not DJ Burns anymore and you still didn't get drafted.
Man.
I just like bad players.
Yeah. If I was him, I'd say. With that size and those feet, forget basketball.
Supersize it.
Go play left tackle. Go play left tackle. I'm serious. Like, go, like, with his quickness.
Yeah,
like
George Fant or whatever.
Yeah, right? like that. And that's the thing. Because basketball athletes are so
nimble.
Abnormally large.
Yes.
But they have such good feet and hands. Like, you could literally transition to offensive lineman without ever playing football ever. Piss all the football people off.
And save all that head trauma.
Yeah, and legitimately make.
I mean, George Fant is the example.
$60 million or whatever. You know, it could be more than that. I'm just throwing out a number. Like, you could definitely go do that. George's thing, like, his people got smart. He tried to play 1 year of football at Western under Brom, but he tried to play tight end because that's what, like, the 6'6 guys, that was the thing. The Antonio Gates, the Tony Gonzalez, whatever. And he could catch the ball. Like, he could catch. He could run. He could jump. He couldn't catch. Couldn't run routes. Couldn't catch. And so it was like the football season ended. He disappeared for months until pro day. Comes back 50 pounds heavier. Goes from 240, 240, 250.
I solved the catching problem.
Yeah, 240, 250 to 290, 300. And it's like, forget tight end. I'm going to go to tackle because I am 6'6". And now he's been in the league for like 8 years.
Oh, yeah. He's a fixture.
Yeah, this is an 8 year.
He's had a career.
And boom. And now he's got the pension. He's got millions. He's got he's living life. Shout out to George and his family, Chastity. Chastity Fant. Awesome lady. Great family.
Dexter said if Trenton had stayed, it would have been both him and Caron Davis watching games from the stands.
That's actually
you
funny.
Might be right.
That is actually funny. There's no doubt in my mind if he would have stayed, quote unquote, air quotes, on the team, he wouldn't have finished the season.
Oh, you think so?
This is what I'm saying. Like,
one of those mid-year December transfers?
Either transfers,
opt out or whatever.
Some kind of something that was going to happen, medical emergency, whatever. I just don't believe. I mean, he pretty much showed it. That's why he didn't do the season. And if the season would have went the way it went, I don't think he would have finished the season. I just don't believe that.
Do you think his dad also would have done the, you got to still have time to fill this roster out, even if it's a midseason transfer? Because remember that, it's like, you got to still have time to add someone. It's like,
oh,
it's
yeah,
August and school's already started.
Funny. Yeah, that's what they told me. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. Maybe not. They probably wouldn't have cared by then.
Screw those guys.
They never cared to begin with.
That's right.
No, I'm not going to effectively root for the guy's downfall, but I'm not also going to be rooting for his success.
Why not? He didn't care about our downfall.
Kenny didn't either, so.
Yeah, that was a sorry set stone.
Touche. That was just the culture?
Exactly.
Yeah, you're not wrong about that part either. I noticed Arkansas was very quick to take credit. We talked about that.
Oh, yeah, they did.
You know, for Reed Shepard and Rob Dillingham. With all of the draft picks for Cal, I did not see a graphic from Arkansas men's basketball's official Twitter account acknowledging that Justin Edwards was the first top three recruit to ever not be drafted at all.
Yeah.
They didn't make a graphic for that one. That's weird.
Yeah, it is weird.
Yeah. He's another a clutch client.
Guy.
I know.
Yeah, I was gonna say, he's another like, clutch guy.
If only Rich was pushing hard for him like he did for Bronny, what could have happened?
I don't know, man. Like, and that, the thing about Edwards is that he wasn't just like number three, let's say like on three, and then like 40 something on everything else. Like, he was a consensus top three guy, and to not get drafted.
And he and DJ Wagner were supposed to be the one and done guys.
They were, and Aaron Bradshaw. Like, that's what I talked about this morning.
Right.
Like, think about it. The three highest. He's at Ohio State.
Ohio State.
So the three.
The fact that I'm asking you, where is he?
Exactly.
Yeah.
The three highest rated guys going into, like, the reason why Kentucky thought they could win the championship was because of Wagner, Aaron Bradshaw, and Justin Edwards.
Yeah.
The reason why they didn't have any chance to do anything was because of Reed Shepard and Rob Dillingham. Reed was kind of like a throw-in, and then Rob.
Yeah, almost sentimental.
Yeah, and then Rob wasn't even like a McDonald's All-American or anything because he kept changing high schools, down the overtime elite, all these things.
So and people thought he was going to play behind DJ Wright.
Yeah.
Right?
Which he technically did.
Yeah.
He just parlayed that to a number eight overall draft pick. And then he gets to play with Anthony Edwards. So it's like.
And DJ has to live in Arkansas.
Wait, at least a year. At least a year. And then we'll figure out what's going on. And the Edwards thing, man, it does puzzle me. And I'm. As we talked about this a little bit about. Like, if Cal gets all the credit for these guys being top draft picks, you got to take some blame on them, like, not getting drafted at all, especially when they were ranked as high as they were. Because even with – and the thing – and that's why the Justin Edwards thing's like, it's so puzzling. Because with guys that highly ranked out of high school, somebody takes a flyer, a lot of times still in the first round. Like, a lot of times still in the first round, you'll get somebody just say, hey, man, like, that dude is just super – especially, like – he's not, like, undersized. Like, he's a big kid, like 6'6 or whatever. Yeah. Like, so he's a big athletic kid. Somebody typically takes a flyer on that kid a lot of times at the end of the first round, but especially in the second round. It's like, man, we know there's untapped potential. Everybody had him as preseason, before the start of last season, like preseason top three mock drafts. Some of them number one overall.
Yeah.
And to not even whatever they saw, whether it was medicals, interviews, feedback from Cal, whatever it was, he doesn't get drafted. And it wasn't like he was the number one guy as a 6'1 point guard. Okay, yeah, there's a bunch of those. But as a 6'6 athletic top three consensus high school recruit, five star, like, that just doesn't happen. Like, as I said, it doesn't happen.
Right?
It's never happened. And so that somebody does have to answer for that.
See, but I also feel like if I'm a Lakers fan, like, we took Bronny when we could have taken a flyer on somebody like that and see if we could figure it out.
Yeah.
Is it worth it? Is that a better deal?
The Lakers know because it's like.
Is keeping LeBron, like, happy that valuable? I guess it is.
It is.
That's what Genie
especially
does.
For them. Especially for them. I mean, like, because the Lakers are a joke of a franchise. Like, Alex, if their name wasn't the Lakers, all of this would. We would consider them, I think I've said it before, like what the Cleveland Browns were for 20 years.
Yeah, like, it
like
is.
They're awful.
It's
like,
difficult for me to understand why they are this desperate. Like, you're the Lakers.
Yeah.
And it feels like they're, like, paying LeBron to love them.
I mean, it's pretty. If LeBron didn't want to live in L.A., they'd be screwed.
Yeah.
They'd be, like
it's not about them.
No, it's not about them at all. And it's just because he wants to stay in L.A. Is the only reason why any of this even is above water. Like, they'd be drowning right now. Yeah. Because him wanting to play in L.A., get you Anthony Davis, which essentially wins you a championship.
Yeah.
And then outside of that, like, even before, like, back to the Kobe days, like, since Dr. Jerry Buss died, the Lakers have been a joke. They've been a joke.
Yeah.
Like, and like I said, if it wasn't for LeBron not, I mean, just wanting to live in L.A. and build his empire and become a billionaire while still playing, they would continue to be a joke. I mean, they just hired a podcaster as their head coach. Like, Rob Pelinka, who didn't do anything, he's only known for being Kobe's agent, is their GM. Kurt Rambis and his wife are running the show, running the team from behind the scenes, according to all reports. Like, this is – like, Jeannie Buss had to fire her brother, and Magic walked away because he said Rob Pelinka sabotaging him. He held a press conference in the building saying the guy is sabotaging him. Like, this is all like a soap opera. It's horrible. Hey, Magic, what about, like, XO draft picks, whatever? I'm not going to be here. That famous meme. Like, this franchise is a joke. It just so happened to be the prettiest joke ever. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, like, has 17 championships behind it. But it is a joke right now. And the only thing that's giving you any kind of legitimacy is the fact you have LeBron James on your team.
I mean, the post, like, Phil Jackson days have been just abysmal. I mean, like, you laid out, I think it's, like, what, seven coaches now? And no one's had, like, 3 years outside, like, was Vogel's, like, the only one that got, like, a third year, and he won a championship and still got pushed out the door?
Yeah, man, it's nasty. It's nasty work. It is, like, utterly and disgustingly nasty. And I don't – and the thing is, even LeBron, I don't see it getting any better. Like, I don't trust Rob Pelinka at all. I think he's made a ton of terrible mistakes. If you need any more evidence that it is super, like, a joke, and we talked about it yesterday. Dan Hurley said straight up, there was a number that could have got me out of Storrs, Connecticut. This may be the best coach in basketball, period, right now. Says there was a number. And they lowballed him. That means you never wanted him. You wanted to hire J.J. Redick the whole time. You're a joke. Get out of here. Like, so I'm not, like, it just is what it is. So
what is it with L.A.? They tried to poach John Calipari and offered him less than he was making at UK. And then the Lakers lowballed Danny Hurley. What are you doing?
It's stupid.
And they were going to poach Ty Lue if they could. Like, there was a report at one point.
No, they could have had Ty Lue. They wouldn't give him the contract he wanted. They wanted to give him 3 years. He was like, I need four. And they was like, okay, well, to hell with it. Yeah. And it was like, are you serious? Like, so I said they're a joke, man. I mean, this is the biggest thing, they're a joke. They do nothing that makes them legit. Like, the Clippers are so much more well-run. People love to joke and laugh at the Cowboys because their fans are hysterical, but they're actually, like, really well-run. They hit on all their draft picks, at least their early-round draft picks. And as of right now, they don't have any bad contracts. The Lakers have, bad contracts. They don't draft well. They just do everything wrong. But they just happen to have LeBron James and Anthony Davis. And Anthony Davis only because they have LeBron James. So, yes, it's stupid.
All right, let's take our last break here. We will come back, put a bow on things, send you off into your weekend. You've been listening, or you are listening. We got one more segment. I almost went too fast there. False start. Drive on Ethan, though. Be right back.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
You're listening to The Drive, presented by Fitness Market, right here on 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Mark Ennis and Jeff Lightsey Jr.
Welcome back into the drive here on 93.9 The Ville. Mark Ennis, Jeff Lightsey Jr. Here. One more segment to go before we wrap things up at 6. Jeff, I wanted to run a theory by you from my good friend Rachel, that a lot of folks follow her on Twitter, know who Rachel is. In reaction to yesterday's story, that was Rick Pitino being on KSR and yes, talking about donating to them and always loving that place and all that. We all roll our eyes and, you know, dry heave listening to all that crap from him. But you come to expect that sort of thing from him, so it's not entirely out of the ordinary.
There's that.
But she posited a theory about what's really happening there that I think there's something to it. That it doesn't make it feel any better, but it does make it make more sense.
Okay. I'm game. And I'm ready.
That this is, it is still just kind of an old-fashioned ego thing with him, but also he hates John Calipari.
Okay.
And that this is a way of tweaking Cal by getting KSR, who I think he came to see as an enemy.
Yeah.
Calipari did.
Definitely did.
Getting back in the good graces of Kentucky fans and KSR the minute Calipari leaves.
That makes a lot of sense.
And that, like, this is a way of look, he wants this sort of thing anyway.
Absolutely.
But to also have the opportunity to troll Cal by being the darling of KSR and BBN all of a sudden, Rick's going to take that opportunity too. What do you think about that?
Now, that makes a lot of sense because – like you said, by the end of the Cal era, it just wasn't the same. Like, the love affair with everybody just wasn't the same. And I don't know. Like, obviously, there's pretty much nothing he can do at Arkansas that can match what he did at Kentucky. I mean, just whether it's the winning, the draft picks, all that stuff. It's just going to be – not to say that he can't do some of those things. It's just on a more minimal scale.
Yeah.
And – so when he's done, because Cal is a Hall of Famer, how are you remembered? Well, your best days are remembered as the Kentucky coach, but the Kentucky people don't like you.
Yeah.
Like, but they love Rick Pitino. You know, they love everything about Rick Pitino. Like, that is a – like, I can see that. That's why it has legs. It is something that has a lot of legs. And I think it's probably more of that than, like, flipping the bird to us.
Yeah, I don't think it's about spiting you at all. I think he doesn't care how that, it's
– exactly.
Is that –
yeah, I'm with you. So, like, yeah, to that point, indirectly, he is flipping the bird to us, but it's not like he's just care
he's
less.
Aiming at us.
Yeah, it's just like he could care less about us. It's more so, you know, attaching himself to Kentucky to spite Cal. That makes more sense than flipping the bird to us. It just so happens that I don't think he cared about this place as much as this place cared about him. That's really what it comes down to.
100% agree. And, you know, it's not really better or worse if that's what he's doing.
No, you're right.
Because instead of it being intentionally basically just giving U of L the middle finger out of all this, it's instead thoughtlessly being this committed to an individual beef that you don't even care how it looks to U of L.
Exactly.
Neither is good.
No, there it is. Yeah.
Neither of them is good.
Mm-mm, not at all. Not at all. And
it would not shock me if that's true.
It, not at all. And honestly, it's more likely that is true. Because that is more ego-driven. That's more of a, I need a one-up. Because I couldn't beat Cal. Like, when we played did our actual professions.
But I'll have their hearts.
Exactly. I can beat them in media. I can outmaneuver him. Even though I never actually beat him on the court. Like, at least when he got to Kentucky.
But if you think about those two. Beat him on the court, fine. But reckless adoration, like, is worth way more to both of them.
I agree. Especially at that place.
Yes.
Because those people are their own separate group of people. Absolutely. It's a lot of them. Like, and it's not just in the state of Kentucky. Like, they have fans everywhere. Like, Louisville fans, pretty much not going to run into too many Louisville fans outside of the city of Louisville, but then outside of the state of Kentucky. Kentucky fans are everywhere. Like, Duke, like, they're the biggest fan bases in the country. And so, therefore, to say I have the gravitas of maybe the biggest fan base in the country, even after this guy put a million draft picks and was there way longer than me and all that stuff. No, I think that is an ego stroke that Rick Pitino was probably going for. That actually makes a lot more sense. But like I said, it doesn't make it any better.
Yeah.
It doesn't make it any better.
Not when it comes to U of L, at least. Luke, welcome into the drive, buddy. What's up?
Gentlemen, good afternoon. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I hear you just fine. What's up?
Awesome. Hey, so, yeah, it's the Rick Pitino stuff I wanted to talk about. My main thing is when I heard the comments, I was at work and just kind of – it was a Kentucky friend, of course, that was like, oh, did you hear the comments
on KSR?
So – and then I got a chance. I didn't get to hear any audio. I don't know if there is any. But just the transcript itself, like, it doesn't make sense to me. It's like I didn't have us Louisville fans or the university catching strays from Rick Pitino in June. You know what I mean? Like
on KSR.
I don't get it. Well, exactly, which, you know, y'all were talking about Kenny Payne getting on there. Did he show up today?
It was a joke.
Anyway, my point is I just don't understand with the turnover rate and attrition rate with the athletic department and the university leadership in general. I just don't understand. And I guess the Cal thing you're talking about makes sense where he's just trying to shove it in Cal's face, maybe at our expense. But, it's funny to me. It doesn't make sense to me, I guess, because he took over the program from Denny on his way out. He goes across the street, you know, from a university he won a championship at. We made him the first coach in history to win two different championships and just happens to be there two different championships at two different teams and they just happen to be in the same state. But like y'all have been saying the last couple of days, like, everything that happened with him, you know, there was obvious disappointment from the fan base and it obviously egg on the face that we took because of him, but he won games, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, at our expense, and I just don't understand at what point he's sitting here, like, trying to make it a point to say that Kentucky treated him better than we did. Like, he was adorned here. I mean, and it went before – I don't know how Bobby was. You know, y'all talked about how Bobby was to the media and stuff. But, again, it goes back to the point you were making, they won games. And, I mean, that was like the Holy Trinity. Bobby Petrino gets us in the Orange Bowl. We're going to Final Fours with Rick, and Tom Jurich is there. And I feel like, and maybe I'm just being naive and that's a fan of me, but I feel like that would be like the pinnacle of you know what I'm saying, of coaching. Like, how could it get any better? So I just don't understand it. And, again, you're all shedding light on it, but that was my comment, guys. Oh, Lawrence, if you're listening, we love you, buddy. Hope you're doing good. Later on.
Appreciate that, Luke. That was kind of you, and he's right. We do love Lawrence, and we're going to
absolutely
be there for him through all of this. Yeah, look, Rick is he is one of the all-time great basketball coaches and an incorrigible narcissist.
Absolutely.
Like, those two go together often.
Yes.
And they're all, to some degree or another, kind of like this. You know, when I read, Connor's book on Coach K, his biography of Coach K once his career ended, like, he's a real schmuck to the local media.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really, like, preachily abusive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, lectures all of them, you know, completely unrealistic about what their jobs really are and stuff like that. You don't know that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that, you know, about him, but all of them are kind of like that. And so, I think with U of L, whether they like it or not, they fired him. And that's an injury he's never going to let go.
And it's something for him that just hadn't happened very often.
You can't break up with me.
No, yeah. Like,
I'm supposed to leave you.
Because even, like, it may have happened in the NBA or whatever, but, like, he didn't want to be there.
Yeah.
So, it's like, okay, I'm fired. Like, I left.
It was a relief to something that wasn't working.
Exactly. Yeah. But at the collegiate ranks where he's the Hall of Famer, like, can he get fired at Providence? And he get fired at Kentucky? And he didn't get fired at Iona? And he's probably not going to get fired at St. John's. But he got fired at Louisville after 17 years, too, longer than any other place. And so, that is an ego bruise that he just hasn't gotten over. And maybe has, whatever. He clearly hasn't. But that whole the Cal angle to try to get one up on Cal because I couldn't beat him doing what we do. But what is more important? Those 13 losses at the place that I didn't give a damn about anyway, or like maybe cared, maybe not, never cared as much as they cared, or the fact that the place that he beat me 13 times at actually
loves
me more than him.
Way more.
After all the things he did, which include a championship and multiple Final Fours and all the NBA guys now with Kentucky Blue getting all these contracts, they still love me more. And I haven't been there since for 20, almost 30 years now. Because he hadn't been there since, 96?
Yeah.
Hadn't been there since 96, 97. Yeah. I haven't been there since 1996, and they still love me more in 2024.
And they've won two championships since he left.
Yeah. Yeah, but he's still the most adored coach
Yeah, they still think about what might have been as much as he thinks about what might have been.
Absolutely.
Don't you think?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like, I definitely believe they think, I know they think, because I've talked to enough, and he probably thinks the same thing. They would have won three championships in a row. He thinks because they won in 96.
Yep.
They lost in, what, the final four in 97?
Runner up in 97. That was between his last game.
Yeah, championship game. Yeah. And then won in 98. They think they would have won three in a row if Rick coaches those teams.
Yeah.
They definitely think that. And who knows how many outside of that?
See, I think the difference with those two is Cal liked Kentucky because I think he thought it was the right marriage with his message about elite, you know, getting you ready for the league and big dreams and all of this sort of thing. But Rick lets Kentucky fans pretend they're underdogs.
Mm.
Like, he fed a lot of that still. Mm. And they're not.
Of course
But not. They love to think that they are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, the reason the Leitner shot hurt so much is it was going to be they were underdogs.
Yeah.
They were going to, like, ascend as underdogs, and that you took that from us at the last second from them. That was them saying us. I am not.
Yeah.
Let's be clear about that. That was a quote from mythical, hypothetical Kentucky fans.
Yeah.
I think that's what I think. I think Cal kind of rubbed their noses in their own elitism, and they're like, I don't think I like this.
I think that's why they're gravitating towards Mark Pope so much.
I agree.
Because he's, like, at least as of now. Anyway, this is all temporary anyway. Because if you start losing games, none of it matters. But it's kind of getting back to the grit and grind type of UK team. Because Mark Pope is more about the Kentucky brand, the name on the front of the jersey. Cal was always about the guys' names on the back of the jerseys.
Cal's about the name in his wallet.
Yeah. It's what I'm saying, but that goes hand in hand to him.
Oh yeah.
I get
they're a means to an end.
Yeah, I get those guys to the league. I can pat this wallet over here. You know, I get lifetime contracts. I get this, I get that, you know, and then I get to go wear my fancy suits to Devin Booker's playoff games. I get to go say I have X amount of things when I go recruit to the next Tyrese Maxey or Emmanuel Quickly or DJ, whoever. You know what I'm saying? Like, I get to do that. And then I get to go cut on a playoff game and see a guy that I coached on every roster, at least one, and sometimes more than one.
And losing to Oakland and Seton Hall or whatever.
Yeah, I don't lose no sleep over that.
St. Peter's.
No, I'm saying Seton Hall.
Oh, Seton Hall, yeah. Did you see where apparently Jack from Oakland called into KSR yesterday too?
Oh, wow. Gokey?
Yeah, Jack Gokey. Because it was part of my take guys that were filling in for Matt Jones.
Yeah.
And I think they had Gokey on after they beat Kentucky. And, yeah, they had some fun with it. I haven't listened to the interaction yet, but it was on today's episode that I'm going to listen to probably tonight.
Wow, that's actually funny.
He got a training camp invite. Did you see that?
I did see that.
Yeah, I hope you hit. I hope you. That's going to be a must-watch summer league for sure. Just
I think of him as space. So old. You know, like, I think of him as, like, a player at the end of his career.
Yeah, but he's 25.
Because he looked like that.
He did. But 25 in the NBA is like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Jason
Tatum's 27, 26.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you are, like, 26. a seasoned veteran.
And I think of him as old.
Yeah, that's why it makes sense. Yeah. Because they're on their second contracts and years into their second contract, and some of them are right about that. Yeah. And he's just finished college.
No, it's
that's why.
It was fun seeing like people like SGA is up and coming. It's like he is like 4 months younger than Tatum. And yeah, he's built this young superstar. And it's like Tatum's like he's been here so long that's not even like Luka's 25 too. Like Luka's not considered a young superstar anymore either because he's been first team all in bases his second year in the league.
That's a personal gripe, Spencer. SGA's still up and coming.
No, he is. It's just funny how the billing of it is like this young superstar.
Yeah. They're like, discrediting your man, so Jason Tatum over there, just because he's been in the conference finals like every year.
Every year. Yeah, exactly.
I think I saw somebody pointing out that he, the picture of LeBron holding Bronny, and then now they're going to be playing together, and that LeBron is basically still averaging the same points, rebounds, assists
he did
as he was in the picture holding his son as a toddler.
Unreal.
How great is that?
I mean, that is like, but once again, when you're able to do that, you live by your own rules. Like there's nothing any like, oh man, you're slow. Like, yeah, even though he has changed, like he's not the same player, of course, but if you're just going straight off numbers, like he's still a top 10 player in the NBA at year 22. Going on age 40. Like, you get to play by a different set of rules when you can do that. I'm sorry. This is what it is.
I always love that when there's like LeBron played against like Tim Hardaway Sr. and Tim Hardaway Jr., like these fathers, like Dale Curry, Steph Curry kind of thing. And now he's played so long that his son is in the league with him. And it is objectively a cool thing to see, a father-son. Like I mentioned with some of the guys, the Griffies, we were in Seattle together for a year. It's really cool that they're going to play together for at least 1 year, hopefully a couple years. But, yeah, the media fanfare is what I think drew a lot of people's ire. It was like, this is all you're talking about. And there's some good players in the draft that deserve at least some shine.
It was honestly, it was the perfect storm because this was a weaker draft. And because it was a weaker draft and the headliners were two guys that nobody ever seen play from France, like it sets it up perfectly for Bronny James. Like if Bronny James was a class of 25, like if he'd have came out next year's draft, like yeah, they still would have obviously still been talking about it. But like now you're going up against Cooper Flagg and like American born stars, like who I think are going to be stars at college. Because even if you look at next year's quote unquote mock draft, it's a bunch of dudes from college as opposed to two guys from France and nobody's seen play. And one of them, and I say a bunch of guys from college, with a bunch of them coming from Duke. You know, that's another thing, too, like Cooper Flagg and these dudes from Duke that are supposed to be all world versus, like I said, two dudes from France and nobody's ever seen play. And one, the guy going number one, who guys seem to think is a bum. Like, some guys are coming out straight up saying, like, this guy's no good. Like, Frank Mason and others.
Yeah, it's weird because no one did that with Wemby.
No.
They would have been wrong.
Exactly.
But, like, everyone was like, this dude is amazing. This guy that went number one in this past draft here this week, like, there's a lot wider variance of opinion about him.
Yeah, there's nobody saying he's going to be a star, first of all. Everybody has went into this draft saying it's a draft full of role players. Like it's not a good way to start a draft. It's a draft deep with a bunch of role players. And then there's guys saying, "Oh no, the dude who went number 1 overall is actually going to be a bust." Like that like rarely happens to ever hear the number 1 pick before he's ever played a game come out and say it's not gonna work. And not just people, like Frank Mason played in the NBA and he played in whatever league this kid played in last year, and he's coming out saying this dude went number one, he's not any good. And then other coaches who have coached internationally are comfortably saying this guy's not any good. That's not gonna happen next year with like Cooper Flagg and some of these other guys, like, because and the thing about Wemby,
no Anthony
too,
Bennett this time,
yeah,
that was like the one I think a lot of people was like, this guy may be a bust, because I tried not to in the moment. It was like,
but even Anthony Bennett averaged like 18 a game in college. They were just surprised he went number one.
Yeah.
I don't think he was surprised he was going to be a top pick, but it was just like, oh, I don't know if I'd have took him number one, but I don't think he's just going to be a bum and he ended up, you know, not being any good. But even like with Wemby, the one thing that played in his favor, besides just being an athletic freak, is that he had those two games in Vegas. And in those two games, he just completely dominated. I think one game he had like 34 and 11. The other one he might have 40. Like he had back-to-back games in Vegas where Americans which is on ESPN, and people got to attend the game and see how unreal he was in real time. It's like, okay, like they telling us he's the next great thing, and I actually got to witness it. He is going to be the next great thing. And that's what worked out for him too.
Got big plans this weekend.
Yeah. Today, I'm going after the show, going to go down to Algonquin Park. It is D'Angelo Russell Day.
Okay.
So they're going to recognize D'Angelo Russell at Algonquin Park. I think he donated $100,000 to the park to help the park get renovated. I think that's the first park he's going to, from what I was told by some people that would know. He's going to do multiple donations throughout the West End, Louisville, different parks. And I think he's going to expand throughout the city. So this was the first park, Algonquin Park. He's going to do some other parks here soon that will probably be announced, but they're going to recognize him for his $100,000 donation after he had his Camp D-Lo camp that concluded today. And so, yeah, I'm going to go down, check that out, and see what that's about, and shout out to D-Lo, man. It's nice.
Yeah, I love – he's another one of these guys we were talking about that, you know, gone but not gone. Mm-hmm. You know, and the city still matters a lot to them, and I just love all of these guys that are invested.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I know D'Angelo. He's not at the end of his career, but he's a veteran now.
Either.
Exactly. Yeah. He's a veteran now, and I think he's getting his foundation off the ground to really do more in the community here.
Laying some groundwork for
for the bigger, next stage. Bigger, better things. Yeah. And so that's awesome. And like I said, he gave them $100,000 to Algonquin Park. I know he's got other similar donations lined up for other parks that just haven't been announced yet. So I'm going to go check that out. I know it's from 5 to 9 p.m. today. Anybody's welcome. I think they may do like a special dedication ceremony if they haven't already done it. So I'm going to go check it out, hang out, and see what's up over there.
That sounds awesome. I can't wait to hear more about that. I'm ready, desperately ready for this basketball season to get here. Both. Like today, like we see the announcement. Brooks Holden said they're going to play Young Harris College,
a D3
which
school?
Sounds like a rapper.
Yeah, I was going to say that didn't sound like a real school when I saw that earlier.
Exhibition. Just can't lose. Just don't lose.
I hate that. That's a thing we just say now.
Yeah, but hey, you got to say it now. And just don't lose. But you can play whoever. School of the Blind.
I've never heard of that.
Young Harris College.
D3 Georgia.
School. D3 school. Wonder how Kelsey found that. It's got to be a connection.
There has to be.
I'm ready. Let's do it. Can't wait to play.
You've been listening to The Drive on 93 The Ville. We'll see you on Monday.